So obviously I decided when I was finishing university that I wanted to go to every game in the season. I basically always had the story in my head, and it kind of came around that just before I went to the World Cup in Brazil. And so I had suddenly a lot of time because I was trying not to spend money and wasn't going out. So one morning I woke up and started typing away as a hobby. Then once I'd sort of enjoyed doing it, I sent it to a few people who were Palace fans who said they enjoyed it. Then I sort of discovered about self-publishing. It obviously became that I had a niche market, because obviously the average self-published book sells about 10. But when you've got 25,000 people turning up at the stadium every week, you've got a bigger market than you usually would as a self-publisher. I published, and I set my ambition as selling 200. So to have currently sold 1,700 is quite impressive, really, and quite pleasing.
With the whole issue of football, obviously it's a big love of yours, but you said about being careful with money, and what made me laugh, and we're giving them a plug here, is the prevalence of Wetherspoons.
Yeah, I as a student, I worked at Wetherspoons and in Feltham, so I was paying for it by Wetherspoons and then giving them most of my money back by going around the country to various rundown Wetherspoons pubs and getting drunk in them.
And it is very funny when you're getting to the match and it's always where the nearest pub is.
Yeah, I think obviously part of being a football fan is going and having a drink and meeting new other football fans and having a chat and a sing-song and sort of building up to the match. And I think what I wanted to do, I didn't see any value in writing a book describing the matches and giving match reports, because if people want that, that's all on the internet and written by people who are sort of experts and trained to do that. What I wanted to do was share a sort of everyday football fan's experience of going up and down the country that thousands of people in this country do every week, and, you know, build themselves up for pretty mundane fixtures at the heart of it.
And you said you asked your friends permission to be written about in the book. I mean, what do you think they think about being featured in the book?
Well, as I say, sort of going around the country drinking, they're probably being reminded of stories that they've forgotten and perhaps wanted to forget as well. I think most of them quite enjoyed it. Certainly my friend Jack is a big Brentford fan, and I use him almost as the villain of just sort of showing football banter between, and how friends like to kick you when you're down with football and you like to retaliate in the same way.
And you refer to the villain, but to my mind, the saint in all of this is your mother, who would pick you up from a roundabout just off the M25.
Yeah, so obviously certain games, if you're going to Wolverhampton on a Tuesday night, the only way of getting back is on the club coach. So I was sort of doing things that I didn't live near the ground at the time. So the club coach would stop at the M25 roundabout near Egham. My mum would come and pick me up at 1 in the morning. Or one time I had to climb through fields to get home. But all in the name of going to every match, which I set out and insisted on doing.
Out of all of those matches, which is your favourite?
The obvious one was the last game of the season at Sheffield Wednesday, where not only was it the winner stays up in the division, a defeat for us could have ended our club. It was that serious, being in administration at the time. Whereas for me, the real passionate one was Watford, where the atmosphere that night was just unbelievable. And if we'd lost, we'd have actually gone 7 points adrift and more or less been relegated. And I think the fans just dragged the players through it. And the moment I remember from that season more than any other is near the end of that game, when we were holding on for the win. Matt Lawrence and Paddy McCarthy threw themselves at the ball, and both of them blocked it together and it went off for a corner. And there's one, they jumped up, grabbed each other, hugged each other, slapped each other on the back and carried on. And I think it just summed up the commitment and what that season meant. I mean, we're currently a Premier League team. We're currently spending £50 million on players. But for me, being a Crystal Palace supporter is more about that moment and that commitment and the adversity of that season.
And what do you think of Pardew?
I think he's the right man for the job. I think he's done a great job overall. If you look, he's been there for 18 months, and you've got to say 12 of them have been sensational. And, you know, my book is all about writing about when we're in administration, when we're at the bottom of the second tier. Most of while Pardew's been there, we've been one of the top clubs in the country performing, so one bad run isn't going to put me off.
The other thing which I liked, and as a former teacher myself, was when you had to work out that you might be slightly worse for wear after a match, and what were the kids going to do the next day?
Yeah, thankfully, I'm now 5 years into teaching, and that hasn't happened yet. But, you know, if there'd been a game after the cup final, teaching day after the cup final, maybe that would have been slightly different.
Silent reading by the children.
Absolutely. No talking.
So, Any other plans for a different subject to write about?
Well, I've actually just finished a manuscript for a second book, which I'm hoping to get out before Christmas, which is about still Crystal Palace, but slightly different to the first book, in the sense the first book was the ambition of going to every single game in a season. And then it sort of morphed into unpicking what being a Crystal Palace fan meant to me as the club went into administration. Obviously, I had to think about the real prospect of losing my club. So the second book is I lived in Australia last year and I spent various small hours of the morning finding pubs or finding hostels with computers downstairs to try and watch Palace games. And I managed to watch nearly every game live on telly or on screens. And so the second book is more about following Palace abroad. And I've got stories, for instance, I went to Thailand and I was in Phuket. I found a game, we were playing Aston Villa on a Tuesday night and it was 3 a.m. kickoff in Thailand. And I managed to find the bar that was showing it, because most of them were only showing Liverpool, Manchester United. Even the bar that said we show every single Premier League game only showed Manchester United and Liverpool. And after arguing about their case and losing, I did find a bar that would show it, providing I promised to buy 4 beers. So I had to buy these 4 beers. And then at half time, they said, no, we're closing it. And so I went up and down this strip of bars looking for a Palace game, looking for a TV showing the Palace game. Came across a DJ who was going through every channel because I promised him a tip, or one bar said if I bought all the bar staff, then they couldn't find it anyway, bought the bar staff a drink, then they couldn't find it anyway. And eventually I saw one grotty looking bar and I thought, last chance, Aline. I was already walking home and it's 4 a.m. by this stage, and I went in and there's a couple of bouncers on the door, and very quickly I told, you must buy a drink, okay, that's fine, just make sure you've got Crystal Palace Aston Villa. We were 1-0 down at this point, and then they found it and I sat down, excellent. And suddenly this girl came and sat next to me and started talking, and it became very evident I was in a brothel. And it was a very surreal situation where I was staring at this screen trying to take in Crystal Palace against Aston Villa. I had bouncers all around just staring at me, who are obviously suspicious of what I was doing and why I wasn't talking to these girls. And then obviously the girls kept coming over, and the more that I made it very clear I was there for the football and was not wanting to go for any other reason, the more girls seemed to come over. I was getting quite worked up because Palace were losing. I couldn't be rude because these bouncers were staring at me, but I really just wanted to watch the game. And I'm sure that's what they all say in those places, but genuinely, it was Palace that was my love.
Thank you very much. A fascinating story.